everybody. Bill Buckmaster with my friend Ray Allen, engineering and producing. Together, we're very happy about the rain, aren't we? Very, very nice to get a little bit of, some for some folks, sprinkles around town. We had pretty good rain up in the foothills. Anything to kind of settle the dust, so it's very nice. Tuesday, May 9th, 2017 upon us. Hope the week is off to a pretty good start for you. We're on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's Voice. We've got our live streaming at buckmastershow.com and KVOI.com. Pima Community College is one of the few colleges in the United States to receive an Achieving the Dream grant. This grant funds the development of a liberal arts associate's degree totally using open resource, that's free or very low-cost textbooks. Joining me now in studio is Michael Amick, Vice President of Distance Learning at Pima Community College. Michael, how are you?
Excellent. Thanks for having me here today.
Well, tell me a little bit about, I know the cost of textbooks has just gone up. It's from when I was in college a million years ago, it seemed expensive then. It's a lot more expensive now.
Yes, they've gone up much faster than the rate of inflation, up to a 1,000% increase since the 1970s. In some cases, at Pima Community College, a student may pay more for their textbook than they do for their class, at least making up one-third of their educational expense at Pima Community College.
So what can be done to reduce these textbook costs for the Pima students?
Well, the students and the college formed a textbook task force to be working on this, and there's various approaches. Some is working with the publishers to do more of a group purchasing, and the initiative that you mentioned from Achieving the Dream is specifically working with open education resources to offer, they still receive a textbook, but it's at no cost to the student.
So the students saved quite a bit of money just this past semester, correct?
That's correct. And backing up just a little
Go ahead, sure.
Some of the reasons why this is so important and why faculty are also so interested in it is that students are self-reporting that they don't buy the textbook sometimes before the first day of class, or maybe sometimes at all. They're self-reporting that they may take fewer classes because of the expense, and in some cases they've identified they feel they've failed or not done as well in the class because they didn't have the course materials because of expense. So it shows how important it is to, of course, have the materials you need for the class to be successful in the class. So if we can provide those at no cost on the first day, we're hoping to not only save the students money, but have them perform and do better in their academic work.
So what I'm hearing from you, Michael, is this has really been, for some students at Pima, a real roadblock to learning.
Yes, that is exactly what students are reporting in some of the surveys. We surveyed the Pima students and also referencing some of the national surveys that are out there on this.
So what will this potentially save students come the fall of this upcoming the new semester?
It is exciting. So in the spring, we had two classes as part of our grant where we developed the open education resource. And that has actually saved, in those two classes, about 11 sections, over $27,000 in textbook costs.
That's huge.
As we moved through the development process of these courses, we have many more coming available this fall, and we're projecting to be able to save students over $150,000 in textbook costs.
Give us a little brief overview of online learning at Pima. That's kind of your area.
And
kind of fill our listeners in on how is that. That's become a huge component of the college, hasn't it?
Yes, it is. Since 2013, it's made up about 20% of the overall enrollment of the institution.
Whoa.
And in any given semester, we have about 40% of our students are taking at least one online class. And if you talk with them, there's usually a very specific reason why they need that online, because of their work schedule or family schedule or circumstance. It helps them.
So we're talking about with this grant, the goal of the grant, I guess, is to kind of offer an entire degree online that would eliminate textbooks, perhaps a portion of it, or maybe altogether.
That is the charge of the grant that we have to deliver upon, that the students would have a pathway to completing the AA degree. They would be able to fulfill every requirement, and there would be a course available that would use an OER textbook that would not have a cost. Now, our Student Textbook Task Force we had a guest speaker, a national guest speaker here to consult with college leadership and those students, and they have gone to the board asking to broaden the support for OER development at the institution so that it's not, we're just working on it inside of online learning right now, but it's poised to make a larger impact.
We're speaking with Michael Amack, the Vice President of Distance Learning at Pima Community College. Let's talk a bit about this OER, Open Educational Resources. Is this the way of the future, Michael?
Well, we are seeing it happen at many institutions. There are some state consortiums that are supporting and sponsoring this throughout California and Utah, in Canada. And now the U.S. Department of Education also has a K-12 initiative called Go Open, where they are seeking to support the K-12 school districts. And that's a huge expense at that level to update their textbooks. And if they can do it, OER really can help the local school budgets.
What does OER include, Michael?
So the concept is an open education resource. If you or I write a book, it is automatically copyrighted.
Right.
We don't have to do anything to have it copyrighted. But we can voluntarily add a license to that that makes it open for others to use without being a copyright violation.
Thus, a cost savings big time right there.
The other thing that we're seeing is when the government is also issuing grants to colleges, they're now having part of the requirements of anything that's developed does need to have an open education resource license on it to gain traction of use and actually better use of taxpayer dollars if whatever is developed under that cost can be used more broadly.
Now, how do students know there's OER involved in a particular course, Michael?
Well, the recommendation we have from the grant is that we have a web page that lists and indicates these items, and that ideally in the registration process and environment, they'd be able to see and show that. Those are two of the items of the grant we're still working on. Right now, if a student were to click through a course and click on the textbook, it would say there is no cost for this right now. But we want to get that a little bit easier to find.
And what are the students self-reporting about how they like this compared to a textbook in hand?
Exactly.
You know, the feel of a textbook and magic markering or whatever you do to a textbook. How are they feeling about it online?
Exactly. These are an electronic textbook. And what we're, again, another part that we're asked to work on is supply a method for the student to be able to purchase portions of the textbook that are printed out or the entire textbook printed out for a low cost from the bookstore. It's not very nice like a textbook. It's more like printing out a bound piece, but especially for those that, like you say, do need some print bound or reading from print can be helpful.
And the particular courses that are being offered, is there any particular area of study that this seems to be, would lend itself to, Michael, perhaps more than others?
That's true. There are some areas that have not developed open education resources yet. Some of the technical areas, some of the health field areas have very expensive textbook. The grant partners themselves have undertaken the work to try to get Spanish and foreign language OER because that's a gap.
Right.
And so that's what's neat about the partners in the grant. We'll be able to share our courses because they're OER.
Well, it's a terrific achievement for Pima Community College to get this Achieving the Dream grant. And I think the bottom line is here that it's going to help the students certainly with their economic burden because, as we've been saying, textbooks are an increasing financial burden for many students.
When we think about the cost of education and how we can impact its costs, it's very challenging for mm-hmm. us to reduce tuition and reduce costs. But if we can work on and support significantly reducing the cost of textbook, it does make a great impact for students. That's our goal.
So where would you suggest our listeners go now to get more information about this, Michael?
The best thing that they can do is contact an advisor at Pima Community College, as we are making available to them the most up-to-date list of courses that they can register for OER and the exact CRN numbers related to those courses.
And by going to the main pima.edu website,
yep.
we'll get you there, right?
That's correct.
Michael Amick, thank you very much.
Thank
talking
you.
Talking about really, I think, a very positive development in higher education over at Pima Community College. Michael, all the best to you.
Thank you so much.
All right, we'll be right back. Shelley Fishman, our certified financial planner, just back from his trip to Europe. We'll talk with him about that and more as we continue on the Buckmaster Show. The excitement is building for the grand opening in 2017 for the Twisted Tandoor. The legendary Indian food truck will now have a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu will be an expansion of the Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, coming in 2017 at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport, with 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections. I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority and its members are working together to deliver transportation improvements to our region. More than 770 improvements have been completed to date. The success of the RTA is built upon collaboration and leadership that focuses on addressing our regional mobility needs to make our region a safer, more efficient, and more vibrant place to live. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Hi, it's Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Wednesday at noon, Dr. Victoria Mays is the Executive Director of the University of Arizona-based Center for Integrative Medicine joins us, plus the annual Letter Carriers Food Drive coming up on Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's Voice.
Shelley Fishman is a certified financial planner professional. The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
And we welcome Shelley Fishman back from the British Isles. Hello, Shelley.
Hi, Bill. How are you?
You had a great trip.
It was a wonderful trip. Thank you. It was just great weather and wonderful people. You spend some time in London. It's a big city. People are brusque, and I'm used to that coming from New York. But the Irish are as charming as can be. And if you want to just start a conversation with anybody in Ireland, you know, smile and start. And you know, you're before you know it, you're in a pub having a beer or an ale. And they're telling you everything you want to know. Same thing in Scotland.
And Edinburgh, I think, surprises a lot of people.
Surprised
the
me.
Architecture there is it's gorgeous. I mean, it's like kind of it's been called kind of the Paris of the British Isles.
Yeah, the architecture is wonderful. The city is hilly, mm-hmm. and so it exists on two levels. Sometimes you're on a street that turns into a bridge, and there's another street under you, and it's just a bustling metropolis. It's really great.
And you were there at a time. Kind of exciting time in the UK with all the discussion. What's next for
what
them?
Was going on in Europe during the 4 weeks I was there is really just overload of information. First of all, I think 2 days after we got there, Prime Minister May, Theresa May, declared that there was going to be an election in June that had not been planned for. And then there was the French election and all of the stress leading into that election. And then there was a British election on the Thursday before the French election for local elections. And the Conservatives really outperformed the Labour tremendously there. So Prime Minister May has a real majority to work with now that she says is going to give her the ability to act in a forceful manner in the negotiations with the EU over Brexit. The folks in the EU aren't so certain they really care what her backing is. They believe that there is going to be negotiations. Those negotiations will be honest and that the obligations that the UK has made to the EU, where contracts have been let, construction is underway, et cetera, to the tune of about 100 billion euros, are commitments that the Brits are just going to have to stand up to.
For Prime Minister May, the local elections reinforced her base.
It did. It reinforced the base. There were really no surprises. A couple of, within England, a couple of mayoral candidates that have always been Labour went to the Conservatives. Scotland actually has always been pro-Labour, still is, but they lost some of their seats there. What's happening in Scotland, of course, is the Scots do not want to leave the EU, and as a result of these elections, the Scots are really making sounds like they want to have another election to see if they stay in the United Kingdom. What the people in Scotland are beginning to realize is that the emotional need to leave and be separate from the UK or separate from England has always been there.
Oh, yeah.
The economics of doing it, however,
the reality
are,
of the reality,
yeah. And with oil down
below
50.
Emotionally, it
yeah.
looks great for them, but then right. when they think about
exactly.
the hardcore.
I mean, when you take a look at Scotland, you spend a little bit of time in the countryside, you can't grow anything in those mountains.
No.
You can't build factories in those mountains. All you can do is raise sheep and what they call hairy coos, hairy cows. You know, you can't build an economy around that.
No.
And so I think the reality is going to be that the UK will stay together, unless, of course, Scotland is able to, you know, figure it out. Clearly, when you talk to anybody in business, you talk to business people, you talk to people on the street, they would love to have their own country and stay in the European Union.
For the remainder of our time, I want to touch on something that was in Market Watch about universal life insurance. This is kind of troubling.
Yeah, it is. So universal life was invented by insurance companies back in the late 70s, early 80s as a modification of whole life policies. The whole point was to allow investment of the premiums so that premiums in the policies could be lowered. Now, if you remember, during the late 70s, early 80s, interest rates were a lot higher. And so the forecasts for the performance of these policies was generally pretty optimistic. And what I mean was you could get a policy that you thought was going to last regardless of how long you lived for premium costs, monthly premium costs, that were a half to, you know, two-thirds of what you could buy a whole life policy for. And that's all to the good. That's great. And without getting too far into the weeds here, universal policies come in several flavors. There are universal policies that invest your money in very conservative bond type investments. There are universal policies that are called variable universal policies that invest your money in equities, in mutual funds. And there are some hybrids of those things. Here's the problem, Bill. When those policies were first invented and issued, there was a lot of pressure on the part of the insurance companies to sell them. So every universal policy has two columns. One is the guaranteed column or page, and the other is the likely. Here's what would happen if, you know, if costs stay about the same and interest rates stay about the same. And so what clients or potential clients were being shown more often than I think people like to admit was that non-guaranteed page, the here's the likely performance of the policy. Unfortunately, the likely performance of policies issued in the 70s and 80s is not what actually happened. What actually happened was interest rates came way down. The policies became massively underfunded, and people who thought they had bought guaranteed lifetime policies found out that those policies were about to lapse unless they paid very, very large increases in their annual premiums, and so they lost their life insurance.
Hmm.
These kinds of problems began to get fixed for new policies in the late 90s, early aughts. And so now you can buy what they call secondary guarantees in these policies where you know exactly how long the policy will last. You know exactly what's guaranteed. But the reason I really wanted to talk about this, what's so important, is if you're working with an insurance company where you have an existing policy that's about to blow up, make sure you do your best to negotiate with your carrier, with that insurance company, to see what you could do to save all or part of that policy. Because not only do you lose your insurance coverage if it lapses, but if there's any cash in the policy that is more than the amount of premiums that you put in, that's taxable to you when the policy lapses.
Mm.
So it's a double whammy for people. They're very surprised by it. And quite frankly, some companies are better than others in doing the right thing and helping people replace those policies.
All right.
The other thing is, and just real mm-hmm. quick, if you're looking for a new policy and you're being sold a universal policy, take a quick glance at the most likely page, then rip it up and go to the guaranteed page and make sure that's got what you expect, because that's the only thing you can count on.
All right, Shelley Fishman, before we say goodbye to Shelley, a week from today and 2 weeks from today, you'll be one of our guest hosts while I'll be away on vacation.
Who do you have next Tuesday? Next Tuesday, I've got James Reel, and we're going to talk about music. We're actually going to play some music.
Good.
We're going to talk about the things that turn him on about music and his favorite pieces and one of my favorite pieces. And then 2 weeks from today, we've got two professors from the university who are European nationals who teach the politics and the economics of what's in the EU and what's going on. And we're going to do a deep dive for a whole hour with those two professors to talk about all the stuff you and I just started to talk about.
All right, Shelley, thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill.
Great to have you back.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of LPL Financial or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is an LPL Financial Planner. Shelley can be reached at 520-940-0884 or at his website, shelleyfishman.com. Securities offered through LPL Financial. Member FINRA, SIPC.
Since 1944, the Humane Society of Southern Arizona has helped over 1 million pets in Southern Arizona. I'm Richard Carmona, 17th Surgeon General of the United States and Distinguished Professor at the University of Arizona. Join me in supporting the Humane Society of Southern Arizona in their effort to build a new animal welfare center. Keeping the pets in our community safe and healthy helps ensure that our community as a whole is safe and healthy. Please donate now, because we are all in this together.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
At the Pima County Public Library, we are powering possibilities. Every day, in person and online, we help you connect, learn, create, and achieve your dreams. Come browse our shelves or take a class, pursue your passion, and connect with others. Do you dream big? We do. Anything is possible at your local library. Call 791-4010 or visit library.pima.gov to be inspired today.
It's a land and cruise vacation sale at Bon Voyage Travel. Plan your dream vacation now and save big, up to 65%. Alaska, Hawaii, Europe, South America, the Caribbean, pick your perfect destination. Bon Voyage Travel will create your exclusive getaway that includes extra perks and bonuses you won't find anywhere else. Call Bon Voyage Travel today or visit bvtravel.com.
Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. You'll read stories from around the world ignored by the mainstream media. Stories from the Gatestone Institute, the Washington Free Beacon, the Washington Times News Service, and other great outlets. It is world news from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, this portion presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Go to southwestnewmexico.org, their fine website, listing several dozen activities. And of course, one of those activities is coming up Memorial Day weekend, the free 22nd annual Silver City Blues Festival. Some great entertainment. It is a free event, so check it out. Also at southwestnewmexico.org is the full listing of the many great places to stay. It's only a three-hour drive, basically, from Tucson over to that beautiful corner of southwest New Mexico. Let's go now on the live line to Arizona's state capitol up in Phoenix. State Senator Andrea D'Alessandro with us, Democrat representing the 2nd District. How are you, Senator?
Very well, Bill.
Well, I want to talk a little bit about, is this the wrap-up week of the legislature?
John, I'm not really sure. I was hoping we would finish today, but I'm not certain. It seems that Senator Kavanaugh is not with us. I'm not sure if he's ill or on vacation, but he's not here. And there might be some pretty close votes coming up in the next day or two.
So the governor has signed or will sign the new budget, correct?
Yes.
And what does that document look like to you?
Well, there are, you know, although they cry poverty all the time when it comes to K to 12 funding, they've actually given several million dollars in tax cuts. If someone makes $150,000 a year, an individual, they'll get about $4 a week of a tax break. And we have, they also funded $2 million to the so-called Freedom Schools at University of Arizona and U of A that for advancing free enterprise ideals from a conservative point of view. So that's an interesting part. You know, the budget is actually $9.8 billion, and it's 1.9% growth. And you know, John, it was about what it was, 10 years ago, and we've had a growth in population. So we have increasing demands, and I see the budget as non-sustainable. You know, they've given a minimal increase to K-12 spending. There's a 1%, I call it a stipend, to current teachers, 1%, and then later 2%. But it doesn't go into the base salary. The legislature next year and the year after will have to vote for that again. So I consider it currently a one-time payment. There are over 4,000 classrooms in the state that have teachers who don't have the appropriate certificate, and this 1% and 2% later on will not benefit incoming teachers. So I don't see this. It might prevent some from leaving, but I don't see it attracting new teachers. And we do have a lot of people who have certificates, but because the salaries are so low, it will take more than 1% to lure those people back into the profession.
$17.2 million of the budget is one-time money for school facilities board to kind of get school construction and building maintenance, get at least pick up on that. This comes as a lawsuit has now been filed by school districts and education groups alleging the state has illegally underfunded school capital costs for over a decade.
Yes, You know, and I did have some questions about that. I believe one of the schools is in Vail that they're funding, and I believe two are in Chandler, I believe. And I, you know, I live in Sahuarita, and I was wondering why the Sahuarita schools haven't been funded yet, because they seem to have to go to bonds all the time for new schools. So I did have some question about that. And a lot of the older school districts have, you know, leaky roofs, and they have to be concerned about the safety of their students. I know some of the Tucson schools have let much of the repairs go, and it really puts its students at danger. And it's just not fair. You know, when the state went from property tax to build new schools because of court decisions, and the legislature, in my opinion, not me, but some of my colleagues, they just not have met their constitutional obligation in education. From kindergarten to university, they've really let education down.
Do you think education then will certainly be on the front burner for Democrats as they try to get it together here to field a candidate against Governor Ducey?
Yes, I believe so. You know, John, up here in Phoenix, one of the TV stations posed the question, is Ducey an education governor? And 90% of the people said no. And 90%, it was Channel 12, if someone wants to check it. I think it's different. I think it's different not only for Democrats, but I think Republicans and Independents and Libertarians and Greens who care about education, I think that they're all, you know, up in arms, and there is talk about trying to get an initiative on the ballot against the educational empowerment scholarships, the ESAs, the accounts, because people in the state, regardless of party, support public schools, whether they're district schools or charter schools. You know, in my legislative district too, the idea of an empowerment scholarship account is ludicrous. In all of LD2, which is part of Pima, and all of Santa Cruz, we have two small Catholic schools in Nogales. So, and many of my students, you know, a third of the young people in my district, children, live in poverty. So their parents don't have several more thousand dollars to contribute to a private school. And transportation is an issue. Free and reduced lunch is an issue. They don't have the extra money to buy books or for school fundraisers. And so it's really ludicrous. It really hurts the poor legislative districts as well as the rural districts. And it amazed me that the rural legislators went along with this because it's against their constituents' best interest.
Andrea D'Alessandro, thank you very much. As you get ready to wrap up the session, was it a better vibe with the Democrats this time around than last year?
Well, last year we were celebrating Kids Care. That was the big bipartisan accomplishment near the end. I was hopeful there would be some criminal justice reforms, and we maybe one or two of them are still going to get through in the session, but we will be addressing most of them again next year.
All right.
It was disappointing, but thank you for having me, Bill.
Thank you very much. Andrea D'Alessandro, State Senator, District Number 9. This portion of Buckmaster is presented by Green Things, 3384 East River Road, just west of the intersection of Dodge and River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Go to greenthingsaz.com, has the full listing of their fine free workshops that they have every weekend over at Green Things. It's a beautiful location. You'll get everything you need for your garden at Green Things. We'll be right back. Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant, capturing the spirit of New Orleans cuisine. Saz Creole Kitchen and Cocktails is located in St. Philip's Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See you at Saz Creole Kitchen and Cocktails. Open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Philip's Plaza.
American Openings is pleased to sponsor Hands of Hope. Hands of Hope believes every life matters, and they're committed to walking alongside women to provide confidential, non-judgmental care so they can make the best decisions when unsure about continuing with a pregnancy. You can learn more about Hands of Hope at GiveHopeTucson.com. American Openings is a locally owned door and window manufacturer and is blessed to be a sponsor of a local ministry doing so much to protect life.
The Regional Transportation Authority works with its member jurisdictions, the business community, project neighbors, and the broader community to deliver transportation projects promised in 2006. This collaborative effort is a model of diverse interests coming together for the benefit of the region. This spirit of regional collaboration helps us address the mobility and safety needs in all of our communities. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
At the Pima County Public Library, we are powering possibilities. Every day, in person and online, we help you connect, learn, create, and achieve your dreams. Come browse our shelves or take a class, pursue your passion, and connect with others. Do you dream big? We do. Anything is possible at your local library. Call 791-4010 or visit library.pima.gov to be inspired today.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. This week's Arts Report on Buckmaster, sponsored by the Crown Jewel of Downtown, Fox Tucson Theater. The end of the school year is fast approaching, and there's no better way to celebrate summer than a nostalgic cruise to the streets of California in 1962. This Saturday, the Fox Theater presents the film American Graffiti. That's going to be fun. And then coming up on Saturday, May 20th, the Fox presents the founding member of the Blue Collar Comedy Group, Bill Engvall. So that's going to be a great show. And then performing at the Fox on June 6th, Taj Mo, the Taj Mahal, and Keb Mo Band. So a lot coming up. Purchase tickets today to see Taj Mo, the Taj Mahal, and Keb Mo Band on June 6th. To view the full Fox Theater schedule, including the classic films and live performances, including comedian Bill Engvall performing on Saturday, May 20th, visit foxtucson.com. Let's welcome now the longtime Tucson Weekly arts writer Margaret Regan. She is the author of two prize-winning books on immigration. The most recent is titled Detained and Deported, Stories of Immigrant Families Under Fire. Margaret, how are you?
I'm doing well, Bill. How are you?
Doing very well. And you've got a couple of very interesting shows to tell us about. The first one is a major show at the Center for Creative Photography.
Yeah. I mean, how great. It's opening this Saturday. It'll be up through November. It's a whole retrospective of the photographer Wynn Bullock. May not be a household name like Ansel Adams. As you know, they also have his collection over there. But Wynn Bullock was one of the early photographers at the CCP collected because he's very significant in American photography. And the really great news is, you know, the CCP has had its travails over the years with lots of dismissals and changes, and then we don't see nearly as many shows over there as we used to. You know, once upon a time, we got like six great shows a year. So there's been a show up for quite a while, pretty much this whole school year. So it's so great that they're doing a good new show, this Wynn Bullock. He was a modernist photographer, and the show covers 40 years of his career, more than 100 photos. So it'd be really great to welcome that to the center this Saturday.
Have they ironed out a lot of the personnel issues that it was kind of a revolving door, the least, over there, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, they had gotten this really great guy, Josh Chuang, as the new curator. They hired him away from Yale. He had a distinguished career. He's a young and energetic guy. And, you know, they pretty much asked for his resignation after a year. That's about a year and a half ago, and now sort of the in-house curator is doing everything. And as I understand it, they're still searching for a permanent director.
So this show will be up through when?
Through the end of November.
And you write about it, the story that will be in the weekly, that will be on the newsstands in the next day or so.
Yeah, that's right. I did one of these roundup shows just because there's so much going on this summer, as always. So I just decided, well, why not let people know what they can see all summer long? And the catch is there's usually nice and cold inside.
Can you give us a couple more that are in the roundup?
Yeah, well, Etherton Gallery also doesn't always concentrate on photography, but usually does. And this summer they're having spectacular photography shows. I said to the people over there, well, you usually kind of take it easy in the summer and do sort of a roundup show. They said, no, this year we're doing Danny Lyon, who is a really amazing photographer, now in the latter part of his life. Starting as a college student at the University of Chicago, he was doing amazing civil rights photography. He got hired by one of the civil rights organizations. He was down in Atlanta and in Alabama and all those places where the really violent episodes took place. And he has a lot of photos of, police violence and protests and all that, the early years of the civil rights movement. And then he went on to one of my favorite ones of his series is called Conversations with the Dead. He got permission to go into state prisons in Texas in the 1960s, and you can imagine you should get down on your knees and pray that you'll never end up in one of those places. These are really shocking and amazing photos. So he's, I think, in his 80s now and still quite active, so this will be a spectacular show, a retrospective. And then also, they have a little narrow gallery at Etherton called the Axial Gallery, and photographer Mark Klett, who usually does Western landscapes, he's a professor at ASU, distinguished photographer. It turns out his daughter, who's now 25 years old, was born on his birthday, and he has taken a dual portrait of himself with his child every year for the last 25 years, and so these are all on view at the gallery.
Well, Terry Etherton has done such a great job, and I think the gallery recently celebrated 40 years, something like that.
Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah, they used to be in a little shop off 4th Avenue. And Terry is just one of the most energetic people I've ever met. Every time I go down there, I can hear him on the phone. You know, his office is kind of open, and he is just working the phones all the time. You know, he's a nationally and internationally known photography dealer. But the thing about him is he really loves photography, and he really knows it so well. So this should be a great show.
And Terry is really instrumental. He's been one of the really the landmarks downtown, along with kind of the whole when the Fox was restored. These are some of the early days of downtown that really now we look at this new and revised downtown, but those were cornerstones.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And, you know, he is in a historic building, the Odd Fellows Hall. It's upstairs from Downtown Kitchen and Cocktails, the Janos restaurant. And, you know, those places have come and gone down there. I think Downtown Kitchen and Cocktails is doing very well. But Terry's been in that spot for, I'd say, I'm guessing like 35 years. And, yes, he was down there when downtown was pretty much in a downturn for many years, and good for him.
You also have a brief review of a show over at the UAMA, University of Arizona Museum of Art, and this show is going to be closing out Friday, but folks may want to take a quick look at it, right?
Yeah, I would say so. This is the new Masters of Fine Arts students, and it's such a fun show every year because you get to see what young and committed artists are doing, and you know, they're doing really interesting mixed media works of the type that you might not have thought of as being art. The one that I wrote about the most in my current review is a young man created a McDonald's in the main gallery of the University of Arizona Museum of Art. His name is Oliver Padilla. I mean, he went out and he got a job at McDonald's and did the work, learned about the lives of the workers, and he lovingly, or not so lovingly, recreated an exact replica, you know, down to the little red containers that you get your French fries in. And the day I was there, there was this young woman dressed up like a McDonald's worker, and she says, "Welcome to McDonald's." They have a drive-through. It looks like a drive-through. Of course, you're walking through, but he has it all set up with a curb and little stones and a loudspeaker. You get on it and you say, "So I ordered French fries." It turns out what they're really doing is they have a 3D printer there, and it will make you things that look very much like French fries, only they're made out of plastic. And they are art pieces that you can actually buy, and they go up to $300.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't know. I don't think the sales are really the point, but he does make very good points about what McDonald's is and does, and it's a low-wage job. And, you know, defenders of these kinds of low-wage jobs often say, oh, well, you know, it's just a part-time job or it's an entry-level job, but Oliver Padilla is arguing that no, in fact, a lot of these people who work in these places.
Well, sure, it's appropriate, the exhibition with the very popular movie called The Founder out right now.
Oh, that's right. I haven't seen that. Yeah, that's
it's excellent.
Right.
It's an excellent movie.
Yeah, and I swear when I was in there, I smelled the French fries cooking. And I think that's a trick of the brain, you know, because it looked so much like a McDonald's. And I have to admit, once in a blue moon, I do go over there and get French fries.
I want a quick shout-out. The book, Detained and Deported, has done very well since it was released. Gosh, it's almost about a year and a half now.
Well, it's 2 years it's been out.
2 years. Yeah. And you're still traveling the country in support of this book.
Yeah. I had just got an invitation from a college in Pennsylvania, Lancaster, PA, which is a real immigrant community and has been for decades. So I'm going to be going out there to Franklin and Marshall College. And just last week, I spoke at a local Catholic church, St. Francis Cabrini, and we had a wonderful audience and very enthusiastic people, and people really upset about the new and much harsher treatments of immigrants in this country.
All right, Margaret Regan, we'll look for your work in the Tucson Weekly. Thank you, Margaret.
Thanks, Bill.
Thanks a lot. The Buckmaster Arts Report is sponsored by the crown jewel of downtown, Tucson's Fox Theater. That's going to be fun coming up Saturday night. What a great place to see a movie, huh? And especially American Graffiti. And what a classic. starring Ron Howard, Richard Dreyfuss, Cindy Williams, Harrison Ford. It's a great outing Saturday at the Fox. Also, we've got Taj Mo, the Taj Mahal and Keb Mo Band coming on June 6th. We certainly recommend you go to check out the full Fox Tucson Theater schedule of the classic films this summer and the live performances, including comedian Bill Engvall. Bill will be performing on Saturday, May the 20th at the Fox, so visit foxtucson.com. Great lineup coming to the Fox this summer, and we thank them for their support here on the Buckmaster Show. All right, coming up this afternoon, we do more local talk from 4 to 5. Mike Check is the name of the show, and the host is Mike Shaw. He's ably assisted by Ray Allen. Ray will be engineering and producing Mike's show, as usual, this afternoon. Then tomorrow morning, we start the cycle all over again with the local talk anyway. We do 3 hours of local talk with Wake Up Tucson from 6 to 9, 1204. It's me, the Buckmaster Show, with Dr. Victoria Mazes. We always love talking with her about health. Then we're going to hear from the letter carriers. I think they've got their big drive. It's this weekend coming up, the food drive. And Tom O'Halloran, congressman, will give us an update from Washington. On behalf of Ray Allen, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Great afternoon and evening to you.